Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. At 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6 on your TV, we have a TV program entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. These MP3 files are the radio programs, TV programs, and a host of other Bible-related material. Please check it out. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship services at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. Our only desire is to show you your need for God in your life and you have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please come and be with us. We have been examining for these past few months the question of why we're a member of the Church of Christ. We're trying to show you the distinction of why we do the things that we do and why we think that you should examine the Bible to make sure that you're where God would want you to be. This morning, we want to look at the subject of the blood of Christ. The Bible teaches that the blood of Christ is essential in order to be saved. The significance of the blood in the divine economy cannot be misunderstood or cannot be marginalized. The sacrifice of blood has always been the sacrifice of life. We can read that in Deuteronomy 12, verse 23. In each dispensation, God has demanded a sacrifice of blood. Why? To show its atoning power of blood, to show that it has the ability to atone for the sins of man. Some examples, Abel. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, the type of blood of Christ to come. Abel offered a blood sacrifice. And remember, Cain didn't, and his was rejected. Faithful Abraham. In Genesis 22, 1 through 19, he was going to offer Isaac, but then when he looked in the thicket, there was a ram, and he offered the ram instead of Isaac. We also see that the lamb was instituted in the Passover in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 through 13. The lamb was given, and that blood was put on the lintel post as a sign of safety and security. And when that lamb's blood was put on the lintel post or the doorpost of the home, there was not a single death among the children of Israel. It showed the saving power of blood from God's wrath. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8, those washed by the blood were spared in the day of God's judgment and eternal wrath. Sealings of covenants were done by blood. Exodus 24, 6 through 8, Hebrews 9, 19 and 20. Seal the covenant between God and man. The tabernacle and all of its vessels of the ministry were sanctified and sealed by blood. Read Hebrews 9, 21 and 22. All the animal sacrifices under the law could not take away sin, could not take one single sin away. Hebrews 10, verse 1 through 4 says the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. But the Jews who faithfully offered those sacrifices, God finally had all their sins blotted out by the precious blood of Christ. But yet they would have never been recipients of the benefit of the blood of Christ had they not been obedient by carrying out the sacrifices that God required them on under the law that they lived under. It's a forceful and clear analogy with blood of animals and the blood of Christ. Both the first and the second covenant were sealed by blood. Sins moved forward were forgiven by the blood of Christ, according to the book of Hebrews. High priests went into the most holy place once a year. Jesus Christ, our high priest, went into the most holy place in heaven itself, a place not made with hands, and be feared before God in order to offer the blood for the sins of the world, as a ransom price for sin, as a price and a remedy for man's condemnation. Read Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10. Christ's blood was shed for human redemption, to buy them back from sin. This is clearly taught in the scriptures, and no one who's honest can deny this basic fact. Isaiah foresaw us being healed by his stripes in the great prophecy of Isaiah 53. Zechariah prophesied that a fountain would be opened for sin in Zechariah 13, verse 1. Christ, in instituting the Lord's Supper, said he was giving that blood for remission of sin. And one of the fundamental facts of the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. The Gentiles were saved by this same blood, according to Ephesians 2, verse 11 through 13. And that blood was shed for all of mankind. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, it says he tasted death for every man. We're redeemed by that precious blood, not in silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, without spot and without blemish. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. We have redemption through that blood and forgiveness of sins, according to the words of the Apostle Peter in Ephesians 1 and verse 7. And in John's vision on the Isle of Patmos, those who had been redeemed were those who had been redeemed by the blood. In Revelation 1, verse number 5, the scripture clearly says that we were washed in the blood of the Lamb. In the blood of the Lamb. That's what washed away our sin. Who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 1, verse 5. And then back in chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, and he said to him, "Sir, you know," he said to them, "these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." How does blood make things white? That seems like a paradox. That seems like an incorrect statement. How does washing our robes in blood make them white? Well, it's symbolic. When we benefit, when we take the blood of Christ on our sin-stained soul, they are white clean. Though your sins be in scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, Isaiah 1, verse 18. You see, it's symbolic. The blood washes away the sin, takes away the stain, and in its abstract form, we see that blood is a cleansing agent. It's a cleansing agent. What does it cleanse? It cleanses sin. I want you, in Romans chapter 5, in verse number 9, listen to the Apostle Paul in his letter to the church of Rome. "Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Justified by blood, what's that mean? That means acquitted. It means made right. We are made right, we are cleansed, we are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Now the question is, how are we cleansed by that blood? If that blood cleanses us, and the Bible clearly states that it does, and that the shedding of that blood provided atonement and redemption and forgiveness of sins, then how are we cleansed by that blood? All men who respect the Bible readily admit that sinful man can only be saved by the blood of Christ. Any honest person that examines the scripture could not arrive at any other conclusion. But the fact that he shed his blood does not mean that all men will be saved. Yes, he shed his blood for all men to be saved, but that doesn't mean all men will be saved. Matthew 7, Jesus said, there's two roads a man can walk down. A straight and narrow that can lead to life, but he said there's few that go in thereat. But there's a broad and wide road that leads to destruction, and many go in thereat. And then we can read the words of 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 17 and 18. "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. If it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of Christ? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear?" Notice that salvation is based upon obedience. This implies there must be some condition man must accomplish for him to be afforded the blessing that shed blood that was given on his behalf in order for him to benefit from it. Upon what condition does the blood cleanse us from sin? Well, in John 19:34, Jesus shed his blood in his death. Therefore, one must come to the death of Christ in order to obtain that blood. Is that possible? Yes, according to Romans 6, 1 through 7, and Colossians 2, 11 through 13, we obtain the blood of Christ when we're buried into his death. And being buried into his death, we contact that blood. And that blood has the ability to save us, according to Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, and Acts 22:16, and 1 Peter 3:21. That blood saves us because it's accessed by baptism. It is why we go in the water. Romans 6 says we arise to walk in newness of life. Is your life new because you got wet? No, your life's new because you've contacted the only agent that's able to wash away your sin, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Upon what condition does that blood cleanse us from sin? Well, by obedience. Acts 20:28, the blood purchased the church. Man is redeemed and purchased by that blood, a connected relationship with the church. In Acts 2:37-47, man must be baptized in order to gain remission of sin. Why? Without no blood, there is no connecting with the death of Christ. Without blood, we can't connect and we can't be buried into his death. In 1 John 1:7, this is how the blood keeps us clean, by walking in the light. This following God's teaching and our obedience. We have fellowship one with another. What if I get myself out of the light? Does God suspend the promise if I walk in darkness? Absolutely. You can't walk in darkness and receive the benefit of the blood of Christ. You have to walk in the light. Now, again, we want to ask the question, is the blood of Christ necessary in order for men to be saved? And the answer to that is yes. It gives us justification, according to Romans 5:9, gives us forgiveness of sins and redemption according to Ephesians 1:7. And it is the precious blood of Christ that bought us back from sin according to 1 Peter 1:18-19. And we were washed in the blood of the Lamb, and being washed in his blood made us white, made us cleansed, and acquitted us of our sin and our condemnation before God. Now, the question you and I must ask, and the question you need to ponder, dear friend, is how does one obtain the blood if the blood is necessary for forgiveness of sin and for redemption and to wash us and make us white as snow? How does man obtain it? Well, he doesn't obtain it by hearing God's word. He doesn't obtain it by his faith. He does not obtain it by repenting of his sin, nor does he gain it by acknowledging that he believes in the deity of Christ and submits himself to his will and making his will their will. All that's necessary, but that still doesn't put him in contact with the blood. The only thing that puts you in contact with the blood, according to the scriptures, is baptism. Read very carefully the 6th chapter of Romans, and then go and read Colossians 2:11-13. And notice that every conversion in the book of Acts ends at the water, all 9 of them. Why? Why do they all end at the water? Because the water is where man contacts the blood of Christ. Dear listener, what about you this morning? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you contacted the blood that gives redemption, forgiveness of sin, and buys us back from sin? Have you been washed in the blood? If not, why not? Why not come to the cleansing fountain to have your sins washed away in order that you might arrive to walk in newness of life? Romans 6:4. God's Son shed his blood that you might receive the benefit, but you can only obtain that blood by obedience to the gospel of Christ, and you can only obtain it by being washed in the blood by submitting to baptism. Thank you for listening.